Well, I guess I got another different sermon today. And it seems as I've been looking back over the past few weeks that basically that it started when I was thinking about this verse over here in 1 Peter in the 9th verse, first chapter. I'll just read this as an opening. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This word peculiar and to be separate, to be different, to be purchased by God. The thoughts, I guess, all these different things I tried last week to preach on gambling. This week, seems like there's recent events that happens that stir my thoughts. This week, I seen, I guess on the news or on something, where two states legalized the use of marijuana. The thought this morning, basically, that I have is on alcohol and drugs. You don't find these words, you don't find the word marijuana, you don't find these things in our Bible. Just like I said last week, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not gamble. But if you take that first verse that I read to you out of the first chapter of Peter, in that 9th verse there, and you look at that and you weigh these things out, that you have been called to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a people that's not like everybody else in this world. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning how the church has been from ages back, how they separated themselves and how they were different from everybody else. And it still should be that way today. I know things change. Even in our church covenant up here, it says, and this will actually be the next thing that I'll be teaching on in our church covenant as we teach through this, but it says to abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks and beverages. Why would it say that?
The use of intoxicating drinks and beverages.
Well, does it have to say in the Bible, thou shalt not sell beer? Does it have to say that for those of us who have been saved by God's grace to know and understand what's right and what's wrong? Does it truly have to say these things? You think about, and I'm going to take my reading lesson this morning from the second chapter of the book of John. John chapter 2, start reading in the first verse. Here we find the first miracle that was recorded by Jesus. And something that is, I guess, used to back up or to establish in people's minds the use of the term or the word wine. And we'll look at some of these things this morning. In chapter 2, starting in the first verse, it says, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage.
And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, the way I understand it, a firkin is about 9 gallons. It's a measurement of liquid to be about 9 gallons. And it says, Jesus said unto them, fill water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now we know and understand that all the miracles that Jesus performed while he was on here upon earth, it was that they would believe. That they would believe. Everything that was done was that people would believe. When we read the story that we'll be reading here for long about his birth, all the miraculous wonders and signs that were set forth for this world was that people would see and that they might believe. Everything that's gone through in this New Testament is that sinners might believe, that this world that we live in today might believe that there was a Jesus that came here to this sinful world and died for their sins, that they might believe in him and trust in him. Be saved. But there's so much gets twisted. There's so much, I guess, gets out of whack. You know, I know this is probably just a pretty standard church covenant that you can find in any place in most churches. And I know most Missionary Baptist churches, but I know there are those that have changed things. They're not only saying talking, carrying drinks and beverages, but they've also included drugs into it. Why would they do that? Because it's prevalent for this day. They've changed it to have also to shun pornography. Why would they do that? Because these things are prevalent. At this time, when that was written, there wasn't computers, was it? To get home and search the web and go and do all the things. There's a lot of things that, when you think about, actually, when you get to looking at a lot of things, basically, you think about alcohol, and I would venture to say that most of us, hopefully not you younger, but most of us that are older have seen firsthand what the effects of alcohol upon people's lives can be. What it can do for them and what it does for them. How it destroys them. We think about how that, just like what was some of the things was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, how that that there was 2 ordinances left, and one of them was to, as we drink that fruit of the vine, that it was supposed to be in remembrance of Jesus Christ and as a symbol of his blood. Do we think for 1 minute that Jesus had alcohol in his blood? I don't.
Now, I know there's a lot of varying opinions and there's a lot of different thoughts, but there's a lot of common sense that falls into place on this stuff. I do not think that Jesus had alcoholic wine. I do not think Jesus made alcoholic wine here. The Greek word here for the word that is mentioned in wine in my reading this morning is, if I'm pronouncing it right, is oinos. And it's a generic word. It's basically generic, meaning it could have been fermented or unfermented wine. We know that to have fermentation, there must be yeast, there must be sugar, there has to be components that is added to grape juice for it to ferment. We find out that without that, it's hard to do. You think about and I was thinking about this, the Passover. You know, they were told to get all the leaven out of their houses. What? In the Passover, the leaven or the yeast that was in those houses, it had a representation of something, didn't it? In the Old Testament, all those things, they had a representation of sin. Is what it meant. That representation of sin is what it meant. Has it changed? Did it change from the Old Testament to the New Testament? No, it didn't. Does it have to say in our Bible that thou shalt not drink intoxicating drinks? Absolutely not. It shouldn't. It shouldn't for those of us that understand and know. And like I said, I know this is controversial. There are some churches that still use wine and Lord's Supper. I don't think it's right. I'm just going to take you this morning. If you disagree with me, if you do, that's fine. But I believe that when the Lord said fruit of the vine, that he meant fruit of the vine. I think he meant grape juice. That was mixed. It was grape juice that was mixed with water. I believe that's exactly what it means. Yeah, there was two Greek words that were given in the New Testament. One of them was that oinos, and the other one was glucose, which had a meaning of sweet wine. It's hard to say and point out exactly. But to me, as I think about this and I look at this, common sense should override any second thought that we might have on a lot of things. I believe that, and a preacher and I were talking not about this subject last night, but we were talking about how that there are a lot of people that just get so deep, try to present something that is so deep that people can't understand. And I told him, I believe that the gospel was made to be understood. I believe the truth was made to be plain and simple for a young boy or a young girl all the way up to an adult. I believe it was made to be clear and plain. And I believe that when we search our hearts and we pray to God, those of us that have been saved for the understanding and the truth that we have those things revealed to us. We have those truths revealed to us. And we get those assurances that we know. We just know. We understand. You think about alcohol. And that's the reason I'm thinking about this. I was thinking about those states that declared that it was legal to smoke marijuana. You think about it, as far as alcohol goes, they basically call alcohol the gateway drug. And yes, alcohol is a drug. It's just as much drug as marijuana or anything. I mean, there's the drugs we've got today where I've heard that you can use this stuff. I think some of these stuff I've heard about, like crack, cocaine, that you can use it one time to be addicted for a life. One time. It can destroy you for your whole life. Children, listen to me. Stay away from that stuff. Adults, please stay away from that stuff. It takes one time. You think about somebody that's an alcoholic. If they never, ever took that first drink, would they be an alcoholic?
No.
People are wired up different inside. Some things make some people different than others. Some people can't take one drink without it getting halted. These things are, in my estimation, they're common sense. They're common sense things. I know you don't hear it preached. There was a period in time, you can look back in the Reformation, where this was beat down, hammered on, right and left. I don't know if we're coming to a time that where the world is, everything is so accepted that it's been made okay. You know, all the alcohol use, I mean, as long as you're 21 years old, you can go buy it. It'll make any difference who you are. That's legal. And it's just as much a drug as anything else. Just as much a drug. I want to look at some verses over here. The point that I want to make about this morning, when you read and when you look into to the Word of God about these words that might be brought into conflict of thoughts, be it this way, I can think, but it's not the right words, but is that context always matters. Context tells. Some things you have to, like when we read here about Jesus making the wine in Cana, you need to know and understand who was Jesus. He was the Son of God. I've stated before, I don't think there's absolutely any way that he would have done something that would have called somebody to step. Was I there? No, I wasn't. Common sense tells me. There's a statement that's made. Jesus knew what his word said. He wrote it. In Habakkuk, in the second chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, "Woe unto them that giveth his neighbor drink, and putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also." Woe unto him. Jesus wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have given somebody something that would have made them drunk. We look over and we find in the book of Proverbs, we see many, many things that's stated about this particular subject. In the look in the 20th chapter in the first verse. It says, "Wine is a mocker." What type of wine do you think this is? Do you think this is fermented or unfermented? Do you think this is grape juice, or do you think it is fermented alcohol? Obviously, context will tell what it's about. It says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." So what does that tell us? That wine that is fermented does? It deceives us. It deceives our mind. All of us have seen and know and under how people act when they're drinking most of us has. The effects that it has,
is mockery. Fermented wine is mockery. Grape juice, on the other hand, when you think about grape juice, what is grape juice is good for you? It says, take it for thine infirmities. It will help the stomach. And it's in our Bible that way. Over in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs. 20th and 21st verse. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So we see here a result of what it does. It brings people to poverty. It destroys homes. It destroys lives. It's a destroyer. Would Jesus gave something to somebody that would destroy them? No. Over in the 29th verse, it says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? All those troubles that went along with that. It's referring to the redness of the eyes for somebody that has drank too much. They that tarried long at the wine. So they that go and seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color up in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. It causes people to do bad things. It causes people to do things that they would not normally do. It alters their mind. It alters their mind. We look upon them and, you know, they need our prayers. But we can see and we can understand just a little bit. I've got a bunch of information here. I'm the safety co-chair for my group at work. And so I put forth a lot of good information for those people to read. Some of the statistics that they have. It says there are more than 40 million problem drinkers in America. Misuse of alcohol cost our nation $100 billion in a year in quantifiable cost. Up to 95% of liver cirrhosis deaths are attributable to alcohol. 66% of all fatal accidents, 70% of all murders, 50% of all rapes, 60% of all child abuse is attributed to those that use alcohol. 11,000 death certificates, so it kills 11,000 people a year. 40% of all non-traffic arrests. 1/3 of all suicides. And 1/2 of all homicides is attributed to the use of alcohol. This is not Bible, but this is today facts. Today facts. And when you think about the world that we live in, what's accepted nowadays as compared to even what was accepted when I was a child? It's, those things, it's going south fast. I said, I believe common sense will rule out a whole lot of mistakes. Common sense will rule out a lot of mistakes. And there's many that have known these things and made a choice to not listen, and it's destroyed their lives. I'm talking people of church at one time. And you may know some. I know some that's lost their lives because of it. It's nothing to be fooled around. You think about when something that was also mentioned in Sunday school this morning in the first Corinthians in the 10th chapter, how that the people were abusing the Lord's Supper. They was drunk. And what happened to them? It just says, they now sleep. They now sleep. You think God don't look down upon these things, and especially with things that's according to what the Lord has laid out for us, is not important to Him? Absolutely it is. It is a very, very serious matter. I've got some things here. This is on marijuana. And I think it's important that it's prevalent. You know, this stuff that's here was written a long time ago, but it's just as important to us today as it was back then. It's prevalent to us today as it was back then. It makes as much difference in our lives today as it did back then. Marijuana is just another drug. Alcohol is a drug. Any drug. Drugs act on the brain and can alter perception, cognition, attention, balance, coordination, and other facilities required for driving or anything else. Marijuana, THC, affects areas of the brain that control the body movements, balance, coordination, memory, and judgment abilities, as well as sensations. Research shows that impairment increases significantly when marijuana use is combined with alcohol. Studies have found that many drivers who test positive for alcohol also test positive for THC, making it clear that drinking and driving are often linked behaviors. As I say, this is scientific stuff. This is stuff that the world can see. The damage of what it does, what it can do to your families, and what it can do to your children if those things get a hold of them and they get in their lives. They're nothing to sneeze at. They're nothing to laugh about. They're nothing to even consider. We as God's people, we have to be that peculiar people, that purchased, separated people of God, that don't let this stuff into our lives. That don't let it into our families. And I know that it's, believe me, I know children in the schools, it's everywhere. It's raging. I know it's there. Stay away from it. It's in the workplaces. It's everywhere. You look. Stay away from it. It will destroy you. It will destroy your lives. These things is important. I believe that Jesus' blood was pure.
Because it was that perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Had it had sin in it, had it had been something wrong with it, and it wouldn't have been good enough to God to appease for the sins of this world. But it was pure. It was pure. And each drop, I know it was said the other night that just one drop will know. It took every drop, each drop that dropped down from that cross on Calvary was for you and me. It took every drop of His blood. It took every drop of His blood. And He just died for me on the cross.
He died for whosoever would believe. How in the world people believe that they can ingest wine and eat bread and think they can get Christ into them, I have no idea. But it goes on every Sunday. All these different things. Just, I would say, just use common sense. Context will tell you when you read the Bible about what it means. It's common sense. It's made for us to understand, for us to know. And when we don't need to try to change it. We need to leave it alone. God bless you. These are my thoughts this morning, and I pray that the Lord will use them. Like I said, I know these are all... these are all just different sermons. I've never preached on this either, just like I hadn't preached on one personal lesson. But it's prevalent. It's today. It's here with us. We live in it. We need to know about it. We need to handle it. We need to move on for the Lord. Live for the Lord, not this world.
Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning. Anything else? If not, I appreciate you listening to me this morning. I pray that the Lord will use it in our lives to help us walk closer. All hearts and minds free, all standing, we'll be dismissed.
We have business meeting tonight. All in the world, please come back. Business meeting.
To me that you're going to be giving to Jesus. I ask that you stay. We'll go through that.
seen family members too.
It's good. Little. It's good.
That's not what I wish upon anybody. Seeing away the effects of those things. The hold that it gets on them. Anything else on anyone's heart? So go ahead.
It got me out of thank this another day. You know, at the end it's out here in that house. That good baby when it goes to. You know, if anyone hears the law today, it's something he said before then. Make them realize they have